Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey guys, it's Paul here. I just finished beating Michael and Josh in a Mortal Kombat tournament, and before we hop into today's amazing episode, I want to ask you all to check out our Patreon page at multiplayersquad.com. We are an independent podcast, which means nobody pays us to do this show. We rely on our listeners like you to support us. We want to make sure that you get some perks in return, and so you will get some awesome things like exclusive access to the Squadcast feed, which is a podcast that releases twice a month, only for supporters. So get over here, and we'll see you on Patreon at multiplayersquad.com. Let's start the show. Fight! Hello, squadmates! Welcome to the Multiplayer Gaming Podcast, where three dads with day jobs get together and talk casually about gaming. Today, villains reign supreme as we will be having a draft and tournament to decide which gaming villain is our all-time favorite. Please make sure to rate our show 5 stars and leave a written review on Apple Podcasts. You can follow us everywhere on socials at MultiplayerPod. And if you want to help fund our show while unlocking bonus episodes, you can visit our Patreon page at MultiplayerSquad.com. I am your host, Paul, and I am joined by my bad guy aficionados. First up, he's a kidnapping primate who loves chucking barrels at a pesky plumber who keeps coming at him with a hammer and just won't leave him alone. It's Josh.
Now, you picked that because I'm the hairy one.
Pretty much. You've got the hairiest beard. You're the closest to Donkey Kong.
I'm fully haired from, like, torso to torso.
Yeah.
It's all right. I'll take it. Donkey Kong's a stud. So, you know.
Yeah, right, classic villain. You're like the classic host on the show.
He started off as a villain. Is Donkey Kong really perceived as a villain anymore?
Not really. Not anymore.
Josh's ultimate goal in life is actually to grow his beard so long and his back hair so long that he can go live in a cave somewhere and be naked, but just tie his hair between his legs and just run around and be wearing a full suit of hair.
Who says I'm not already there?
Oh, boy. And then joining us, he's a king who has the best castle contractors in all of the Mushroom Kingdom. You can find him most days kidnapping his favorite princess, although sometimes on a chill day he can be seen racing go-karts, sometimes even playing tennis. It's Michael.
I have no idea how Bowser plays tennis or go-karts. And also, if we're talking about building castles, I don't know. I played V-Rising and my castle was pretty lame. So maybe I can borrow some of Josh's barrels and chuck them around a little bit.
Now get your own barrels, man.
No, I want one of those barrels.
I'm a bad guy.
I'll pretend I'm a plumber. You throw it at me. I catch it. Now I got a barrel. I can chuck it at people.
This sounds like good video content for our YouTube channel.
We're good. Yeah. Oh, that's do we have one of those? Yes, we do.
We do.
No video.
Now, it should be mentioned here at the outset that the day that we are recording this happens to be Michael's 40th birthday. Am I allowed to say that publicly, or do I need to bleep that out?
Oh, no.
Do we want to keep that private?
We announced it to the world on our Discord server.
The big 40. Wow. Happy birthday, Michael.
How's it feel to be old? Thank you.
It's funny because this morning I was like, I don't feel like I'm 40. And then I tried to get out of my chair after sitting in it for like 3 hours when I was working today. And I was like, maybe I feel like I've been 40 for like 5 years.
Very nice.
Good, though. Thanks for the birthday shout. I appreciate y'all.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So I was going to sing, but I don't want people to shut the episode off right away.
Right. They just stop it. They're like, good at growing hair, not good at growing vocal cords, apparently. But no, I'm excited, though, because I get to do my favorite thing in the world on my birthday, which is record this podcast. So this is a great day.
There you go. That works.
Wait.
And then before we jump into the
draft, we're not
going to
let Michael win just because it's his birthday.
Well, no,
like, just so you know, there's no mercy, birthday or not.
Absolutely not.
Okay.
No freebies.
Like, right. I feel like this one's mine to lose because it just happened to line up that my birthday draft, I am first overall, and it's mine to lose. So you guys can let me win by random luck that it happened by my turn to go first, but I probably will mess it up somehow. I mean, we've heard the space episode and whatever episodes I went first on where I botched it real bad. So we'll go with it.
I just really hope Michael drafts the Pirates from Elite Dangerous with the first overall pick.
Oh, what were the aliens called? The Malgons or something?
Oh, the
Zargoids?
The Zargoids, yeah. That's what
Zargoids?
It was. I blanked for a minute. I was like, wait a minute.
It's definitely some terrible sounding name for a terrible video game.
Yeah, it's a great... just agree to disagree. You go home. Dear. You go home. Your hair won't work as a spacesuit. Get out of here.
Well, before we jump into talking about villains here, Josh, you've got a review to read. That's the one left of the show.
You know, talking about heroes, everybody that's left us a review, you're a hero to us.
Yes.
I don't know what more we can say, but man, this review, I love this review. This one comes in from Dev Killow. Maybe Dev Kill AU, but I'm going with Dev Killow. You know, one thing I've noticed in all these reviews, these names are really hard to say.
Yeah.
Right?
Do you ever think about people who are like born today, how hard it is to come up with a unique username?
Oh, yeah. Yes, yeah. Exactly.
It's got to be rough.
So, all right. So Dev Killow writes, finally, and says, this podcast is the creme de la creme. Josh, Michael, and Paul reel you in with great content, hilarious goofs, and real gaming knowledge. This is a podcast for those who really are diehard gaming fanatics and want to listen to down-to-earth casters. Every episode will have you either laughing, curious, or ready to come back for more. After searching for weeks, I've found my home with this podcast, and with so many episodes to listen to, you won't be disappointed, and I'll be busy for some time. Thanks for making my work days bearable.
Oh, that's so sweet.
That might be one of my favorite reviews.
It's a great review.
It really is. So kudos to you, Dev Killow. Thank you for that awesome review. I might hold on to this one as my favorite review so far.
Yeah, Dev Killow, you can have a smile on your face at work today that we read your review. And, you know, obviously, guys, you write us a review, we read it. That's the way it works. But thank you so much for all the reviewers we have. Most recently, Dev Killow, thank you, my friend, for leaving us the review. We love it.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, well, Michael, since you're the birthday boy, why don't you tell the people out there how these drafts and tournaments work?
Wait, you want me to explain something? I got to sound smart
for
a second.
I was going
to
say yes. I'm going to listen in here.
So stuff happens. All right, so the first thing we're going to do is we pick a topic. We did that already, right? All right, villains. Best video game villain. So here's how the draft works, or the tournament works, guys. We're going to draft, like, similar to a sports draft, right? It goes in a snake draft order, so if I pick first, I don't pick for a really long time. But essentially, we all go through, we each make our four picks, and we go alternating. So if I pick, then Josh picks, then Paul, then Josh, then myself. That's the way it goes. And then at the end of it, we take the gloves off and we fight each other. And we basically have a last man or last villain standing in this case, or sitting, because you play games when you sit, however you want to do it. But essentially, the winner wins the crown and is the greatest person on the planet for the next, until we do the next draft. And I'm in trouble right now because I won the last one, guys. I won it. I am Jean-François Le Champion. Yes, I won my first
out
one.
Out of how many?
Many, many.
Like ones. Like one. The only one that counts, I won. So, but anyways, that's the way it works. So we basically just, ultimately, it boils down to we have 12 different villains out here. And at the end, we're going to have one villain that we all crown king. And that's the way it goes.
Yeah, absolutely. That's exactly what we're looking to do. It will be our consensus pick for the best villain. It's not necessarily what everyone else would say is the best villain, but it's our show's number one villain that we will have left standing at the end. So the draft order here, Michael does get to go first. That is not a birthday gift. It just happened to fall that way. I get to go in the middle, and then Josh gets to draft third and then also fourth. And, you know, before we start making our picks here, I just kind of wanted to ask you guys in general, What tends to make a good villain in your estimation?
Absolutely. I love a villain that has like a good story, a good reason. I like tragedy. I like something that's got some depth to it. You know, I like a villain that's got a story. Any villain, my favorite, and this isn't going to be all over my list, but my favorite kind of villain, though, I love it when you can relate to that. Like, I love a good villain that like thinks they're doing the right thing, but ultimately is causing destruction. I like to relate to my villains, and I like it when they make me cry a little bit because it's tragic. That's the biggest thing, really. And also, scary helps. Scary also helps. I like to be scared of villains.
I was going to say, for me, likability. If a hero, Michael touched on it a little bit, but if you can understand why that villain is doing what they're doing, and maybe in some weird fashion you can sympathize with them. I'm not saying that you have to agree with them, because let's be honest, they're all villains. They're bad guys. But if they're likable bad guys, or you can sympathize and say, hey, you're crazy, but I understand your motives, at least, like why you're doing what you're doing, that to me makes for some of the best villains. It's very easy to just be that evil demon that just wants to see the world burn, but those generally tend to be pretty shallow in depth. You know, and so if you get that good villain, man, that just either he doesn't even seem like a villain, or he just has that likable factor, that's what sets it apart for me.
Yeah, I definitely first thought of what Michael said, where I love a villain that is doing the right thing in their mind, and maybe they're just misguided, or, you know, they're doing something that the ends do not justify the means, right? So this is like your Dr. Doom from the MCU, or Thanos, or something like that. These guys who have a good goal, but they're going about it in a way that is, you know, debatable whether or not it's evil or maybe it serves a greater good. I always find that to be really fascinating. And I love a villain that is just super charismatic. So they can be just pure evil. Maybe I don't need to empathize with them at all, but if they're just super charismatic, whether it's the voice acting or the writing, or, you know, just larger than life villains, I tend to really love. So when I think of like movie villains, I think of like Bill the Butcher from Gangs of New York. Not a character I empathize with at all, but he's just so captivating. You love every second he's on screen.
Funniest thing about that movie is I don't like that movie really much at all.
Oh, I love it.
I've watched it many times because I love Daniel Day-Lewis's portrayal of Bill the Butcher in that movie. The villain makes it for me. So good pick there.
So good. Yeah. Or even Hannibal Lecter from Silence of the Lambs.
Yeah.
So charismatic, right? Most evil dude in the world, kills and eats people, but you just love every second they're on screen because, you know, they just do such a good job with the writing. All right. And then do you guys have any kind of strategy going into this? Like, as you made a list of villains, you know, how are you going about this? Are you voting from the heart, or are you going to draft just solely for the win? How are you guys going about this?
I went with what I think is an actual good villain. I did not go with the like popular or most recognizable vote on this one, because I think that there are some well-known villains out there, but they're sucky villains.
Yeah.
I rolled about half and half on mine. So I want to win. Like, I really want to win. Like, you're going down. But at the same point, like, I wanted to stick to villains that I actually did care about. Like, there's a few villains that, like, you know, when we're looking through top 10 or top 25 lists, I didn't even consider, because I'm like, I get why people like that villain, but I didn't particularly, the villain didn't resonate with me the same way. And then I also kind of went with a few of my personal favorites that probably aren't going to win me any points, and I'll probably pick those in the backside of the draft.
Mm. Yeah, we'll kind of see how this goes. I feel like there's one heavyweight odds-on favorite to win this draft, and if Michael somehow does not take them, then I will go for the win. If Michael drafts them, I'm just going to go from the heart, and I don't care how obscure they are, I'll just go with my favorite villain.
This is tough. It's a lot of pressure.
This is why I don't want to be third on this one, because I feel like there is a clear winner for this one, and it's like Michael may not realize it, but I don't think it's making it past Paul.
Oh, we'll see.
We'll see. I mean, if it falls to me, I will get up and do a little dance and just declare myself the winner of this whole night.
I did in our space draft let Mass Effect 2 fall to
That's
you.
True.
So you never
That's
know.
True.
That was crazy. I still look back and I'm like,
I just love that Michael now is scrambling, going, "What is this first pick?" And why am I going to mess this up and not pick this obvious first pick?
Right.
Are we in your head yet, Michael?
Yeah. I mean, a little bit. It's not quite what you guys did in the space one, though. That was ridiculous. Like, hey, there's no clear one. It's going to be all over the place. Josh is like, just pick from your heart. And I'm like, okay, Mass Effect 2, I'm not going to pick you. I know you're going to win, but I'm picking Elite Dangerous because nobody's played it in the room, and I knew that, and that threw the whole thing away. And then sure enough, when I talked about that game in that episode, it spawned a following of people who wanted to play that game, none of which is now Paul or Josh.
And all those people were so disappointed when they played it.
Well, we saved a lot of people. We're basically heroes, Paul, by letting the world know that this game is not very great.
I'm going to draft Michael in this draft. Because
I had people email and just say, hey, I was thinking about buying this game. Thank you for saving me and having me not waste hours upon hours. You know, it's a tough job, man.
And we're not going to get cute and try to, like, draft EA, right? Like, we're drafting actual characters inside games, right?
Oh, man.
Scratching EA off my list.
Right? I actually had the devs from The Cycle listed right here.
Oh, yeah. Shots fired. All right, well, let's jump into it. Let's start with our draft. Michael, you get the very first overall pick. Round one, pick one. Who are you taking?
When you first meet this villain, you don't know it's a villain. You think it's there to help you. It's guiding you a little bit. Mm-hmm. And then it starts to test you a little bit.
Yeah.
And then it's hellbent on murder. And its name is GLaDOS. And it's an evil robot.
Michael. Yeah. I was really hoping you'd mess that up, man.
Is that the right pick?
It is.
This might be a battle for second.
It is the right pick.
I mean, she's outrageously powerful, right? She's maniacal in so many different ways. I mean, she's probably going to win this for me, I hope. And also, she lied about the cake, so there you go.
All right.
What's the next pick?
The best part about GLaDOS are the wisecracks.
And 100%.
Yeah, I actually wrote down a few of some of the best wisecracks.
So did I.
Which ones
do you have, Josh?
Oh,
yeah.
This one always sticks with me. Well done. Here come the test results. You are a horrible person. That's what it says. We weren't even testing for that.
That's my favorite one.
That's a great one.
What do you got, Paul?
Oh, I got another one here. Despite your violent behavior, the only thing you've managed to break so far is my heart. Which GLaDOS also tells you as you are ripping her machinery apart,
which I
love.
All right. I honestly, truly didn't think you'd fall for that trap. In fact, I designed a much more elaborate trap further ahead for when you got through with this easy one. If I had known you'd let yourself get captured this easily, I'd have tangled a turkey leg on a rope from the ceiling.
That's a great one. It's so passive aggressive, like the comments that she makes.
Oh,
there's another one where she pokes fun at your clothing, where she says, "It's right here in your file. On other people, it looks fine. But right here, a scientist has noted that on you, it looks stupid." So the entire game, she's throwing out barbs.
It's why she's so good, man. Like, she's not, again, she doesn't come across as that, like, chaotic, evil character. She is just trolling you mercilessly with all of these wisecracks and passive-aggressiveness and stuff. It's great.
I have one here that's, any feelings you think it has for you is simply a byproduct of your sad, empty life.
Yeah.
It's like, she's just terrible.
Michael.
And it's great because when it starts out, you're thinking, this is this helpful voice, it's helpful, you know, I just can't help with the portal. And then quickly it becomes to where, especially in the second game, where it's like straight up murder. Like, she just, the first game, obviously it's about just like
Wheatley makes
you
a very good villain as well, but GLaDOS is like the OG.
OG.
All right. Well, I knew that was not going to make it past Paul. I had zero chance for that. But Michael, kudos to you.
Thank you. Now I got to wait a long time for number two.
Yep.
That's okay. You did not lose the draft with the first pick, which is
no Elite
possible.
Dangerous, baby. Here we go.
Not this time. All right. That means I get to make my second pick. And, you know, I don't know that there's even any on my list that I think Josh would take.
Ooh, so I have one I really want. So
I'm going to go with who I really do think is the all-time greatest villain in games. And that's Saren from Mass Effect 1.
Okay.
You know, we started releasing our quick takes, and the very first quick take I ever recorded was Saren being my favorite villain of all time.
Yep.
And he falls right in that category of someone who is doing what they think is best, but in reality, they are just incredibly blinded and misguided and do not realize that they're being manipulated. So if anyone's not familiar with Mass Effect lore, I'll keep this very short. But basically every 20 minutes
later, he's still going. I'm just
basically every 50,000 years, there is a very advanced, artificially intelligent machine race called the Reapers. They come in, they wipe out all organic life to make sure that no one can ever rise up against them. And that plot ends up being discovered, and we know that the Reapers are soon going to be returning and wiping everybody out. Saren is an alien that basically knows that all organic life has zero chance against the Reapers. And he says, they absolutely will kill all of us. We do not have a chance. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to make an alliance with them, and I'm going to try to prove that we can be servants to them. And that way they will spare some of us and keep us around in order to serve the Reapers. And so he starts assassinating people that are in his way. He slowly is becoming more and more evil. And then the really cool reveal in Mass Effect is that you learn that as organic creatures are near one of these AI robots, slowly they become indoctrinated, where they start to lose their faculties and they start to lose their mind because the machines can take over their thought process. And basically, even at the end of Mass Effect 1, you can convince Saren that he has been indoctrinated and has been manipulated to where he will actually turn a gun on himself and shoot himself and die.
Wow, spoilers, and Paul. I haven't finished that one yet.
There's going to be a lot of spoilers for a lot of games coming up. And that's just one of many endings. But, you know, Saren, I think, is just such a cool idea for a character where he really does think he is saving all life in the universe. And in reality, he's just serving the Reapers and their agenda.
Yep. You know what's funny, Paul, is I actually took notes on most of the ones that I wanted to pick here. My notes on Saren, Mass Effect. Paul can explain why. Second point, he's a lizard man. That's it. That's all I wrote because I knew he wasn't coming back to me in the second round.
Yeah. Yeah. He's my all-time favorite villain. I really love him. Also, fantastic voice acting work. He's so much fun. Yeah. The only bummer is that he's only in Mass Effect 1. So he's only around for a very limited amount of time.
Good pick. He really does. He helps make that game. Having a villain like that, that's what makes Mass Effect so great, to be honest. All right. So I get back-to-back picks here, which is good, because there's actually two people that I wanted. And then after this, I'm going to scramble a little bit. But since I don't have to scramble for these two, this first one, I think may fall later in the draft, but I absolutely don't want to miss out on this guy. And I know I said in the beginning what makes a good villain, and I said likability, but sometimes there's a villain in a game that you loathe so much.
Oh no, I know where you're going.
That you want to just punch them in their stupid smug face every time you see them on the screen. And if there is a villain in a video game that I literally want to just grab and shake and punch him in his stupid smug face, it is Micah Bell from Red Dead Redemption 2.
You had to pick him here because I was taking him next.
Were you really? See, I thought he was going to fall. And I was like, dude, nobody's going to think of Micah as like one of those villains. But man, if you have played Red Dead Redemption 2, you hate Micah. I don't know of a single person alive that likes Micah or thinks that he's some misunderstood person or something like that. Like, he is universally hated, and I think that makes for a great villain.
Well, and from Act 1, too, like, when you rescue him from jail, and he murders the whole town on the way out, and it's like, it's terrible. It's funny because, I don't know if this is going to take something later on or not, but whatever, I'll just say it. I had Dutch Vanderlyn written down, and I don't think someone's going to double dip in Red Dead Redemption 2 at this point. And then I was like, no, I think Micah is way worse, because I think a lot of the things that Dutch does, he does because Micah gets in his ear and becomes his friend. He's kind of manipulated by him. He listens to his whispers. Micah is hands down terrible, evil. He's maniacal. He's a Pinkerton spy, guys. Come on.
Yeah, like, he betrayed the whole gang, which you find out in the epilogue.
Right. Yeah. So it's just he's awful. And there actually he was somebody that was Dark Horse I thought might make it back to me, and that's a great pick.
Well, he also kills Arthur, which is another reason
that's
to
true.
Hate him.
Yeah, that's true.
And the fact that he is Dutch's golden boy, you have like that kind of sibling rivalry. And the fact that he actually kind of replaces you under Dutch also fuels why you hate Micah so much.
It's almost like a Thor and Loki thing trying to win Odin's attention, you know, like not just from the movies, but like mythical. It's like they're who's next to ascend on the throne.
It's just one of those things where there's a lot of the, like a lot of these villains are somewhat likable that I have on my list. But I like I said, there's nobody in all of video gaming that I can think of that's more universally hated than Micah. So. All right, well, I'm glad I picked him here then, because I was thinking about rolling them dice to see if he'd fall later. But this next one I know would get taken sometime soon, and I'm a little bit worried that Paul would snatch up this very handsome fellow.
Dang it.
Who is also funny, witty, charming, and also downright evil. His name is Handsome Jack from Borderlands 2. Let's be honest, Borderlands 2 is the best Borderlands game, and that is because Handsome Jack is the main villain in the game. And I like I said, he is insanely likable. He's funny. You understand why he does everything that he does, but he's also that villain that you'd 100% want to hang out with if it wasn't for the fact that he was evil. Like he's just a funny guy.
This is such a good pick. Really take umbrage with you saying that he's likable. I
don't
know that he's
likable. Jack is likable.
He's entertaining. I don't think he's likable.
Well, that makes him likable.
He's charming, so he's likable,
right? Exactly. He is very charming.
He tells you horrific stories about killing people and their dead eyes are staring back, and isn't that just so funny while he's maniacally laughing?
He says it in the most amazing way.
He's a
great
complete
storyteller. Yes, of course he's a psychopath.
He's the biggest psychopath I can think of in games.
Maybe.
No, don't give ideas, because I want the next one.
But Handsome Jack is just, I love him as a villain. They do him so well. His personality is so fleshed out in that game. He's very memorable. It's just, you know, he's up there in the upper pantheon of villains to me.
I can see Paul Googling best psychopaths right now, so we better make him pick quick.
No, I'm not Googling anything.
Nice.
I knew for sure Josh was going to take Handsome Jack. I thought you were going to pair him with someone different, but I think maybe you're hoping to snatch a certain villain later. I am going to pick someone that I think Michael might consider. I'm going to go with the Joker from the Batman Arkham games.
Oh, good.
Legendarily voiced by Mark Hamill. I think a lot of people consider it to be some of the best voice acting work around in animation. And the Batman Arkham games are fantastic. I absolutely love these. I know Josh likes them a lot. Have you played through them, Michael?
Yeah, I played through the first one a little bit. Not all the way through, but I can say that Mark Hamill's rendition of the Joker from the cartoons, because he also does it in a lot of the cartoons, mind-blowing. In fact, it's funny because if you look up a list of the best Joker portrayals of all time, Mark Hamill is typically number two, right behind Heath Ledger or Jack Nicholson. If you put some of the camps call Jack Nicholson the best of all time. I thought his was ironically too campy for me. If you put it in the camps, see what I did there. But no, absolutely, he is on my list. And I was thinking maybe I'd get him a little bit later. I'm a little disappointed took him here, but also I'm happy that my guy fell to me. But great villain. And especially in video games, he's evil, maniacal, and he's hideous in this series too, which makes it even harder. It's hard to look at.
Let me remind you guys a little bit about what Joker does in the Arkham games. So in Arkham Asylum, that game opens where Batman is delivering Joker to Arkham Asylum. And it turns out that Joker had purposely been caught, and he's got this super elaborate plan where Batman is stuck on the island and all of the inmates from the asylum get let loose and all of them are after Batman. So it's this like really cool old school villain plot that I really love. And then he ends up pumping himself up with the chemicals that were used to make Bane. And then in Arkham City, Joker is now dying because he's injected himself with that chemical. So what does he do? He injects Batman with the same chemical, which now forces you to go create a cure, which Joker can also use for himself. Like, how can you not love these hilarious schemes and plots from the Joker? And even though he does die in Arkham City, he does make another return in Arkham Knight, because Batman sees him as a hallucination and Joker is slowly taking over his decaying mind. Very similar to like what you see in Cyberpunk, where Johnny Silverhand is taking over V. So yeah, what a fun villain. I absolutely really love Joker. So that was why I wanted him with my second pick.
Joker's an amazing villain, like in movies, in video games. Yeah, he really is. Even like when he's not been portrayed by like the best actors and stuff, he's just incredible. And that, you know, having him as the villain in the Batman Arkham games, which are phenomenal games. Now, I'm not going to lie, it's been a minute since I've played any of those. And do remember snippets, that's my only concern for what is a great pick, because it's like, I don't remember a ton about those games.
Yeah, it's been a while.
I want to say that I have Arkham Knight in VR. I want to say that I do. I think they made it in VR, and I haven't played it, but I'm pretty sure I own it.
I don't think it's like the full game. I think it's just where you get to like perch on buildings and stuff, okay, if I remember so right. And I think you do investigate, like you scan for footprints or something, but it's definitely like a completely standalone Batman type game, like more detective-y than actual like the Arkham games.
Okay, yeah. And so I never played Arkham Knight, I only played Arkham Asylum, and so it's like looking back at, I don't know why I never played the second game. First one was great, probably because I didn't finish the first one. But I'm really interested in doing that now, because I do love Mark Hamill's Joker. And it is interesting because he does come back from the dead. So,
well, Michael, you get back to backs now, I believe.
I do. One of these you're going to shoot down. I'll tell you that right away. Okay. It's not the first pick. My first pick is the most psychotic villain in all video games. He's absolutely insane. He sets the bar for unhinged. And this is Voss Montenegro from Far Cry 3. Absolutely mind-blowingly just batty bonkers. He's the most memorable part of probably any Far Cry game. I think that's actually a negative thing, because Far Cry has been trying to duplicate his recipe ever since then, and they have fallen flat on their faces and not been able to do it. But I think the voice acting of Michael Mando in that is just amazing. It's one of the first times I remember, like, really, and this is probably why I picked him so high, also because you guys have literally picked from my list the entire way through so far, so I'm running out of names. But it's one of the first times that I really remember a voice actor standing out in a video game. I'm like, that's unique. That's interesting. I'm believing this guy. He's a killer. He kills your whole party. He's just absolutely just bonkers, and he's terrifying in so many different ways. So it's not one of those, it's kind of a Micah Bell pick, where he's not relatable. He is just insane, but he makes the game, and I think that helps a villain when they absolutely, the reason to play the game is the villain. I'll take it every day.
All right, I'm sure it's a good pick. I never played Far Cry 3, but I know Josh loves it.
Played Far Cry 4, which is funny, because Pagan Min in Far Cry 4, I think, is the best Far Cry villain, but that's also because I never played Far Cry 3.
Gotcha.
So I know that he's a good bad guy. He's probably that kind of like bad guy that you in real life would never want to be around, because he would scare you half to death. But I never played Far Cry 3.
Yeah, he's the kind of person that I could really like truly see coming up with the most evil torture devices or torturous ways to torture a human and actually doing it in a video game. That's, I think, what is most terrifying about him. All right, my next pick, I'll just roll right into it. I think you guys are going to shoot this one down, but I really want it. I really want this one. I want to pick Vault-Tec from
Fallout?
The Fallout series. And here's why I want to pick Vault-Tec. It's not a person. It's an entity, right? But the thing about Vault-Tec is you think they're there to save you and they're there to help you, but really they're an evil, sinister corporation. You go into some of those vaults in Fallout, and there are some bad things happening. There is human torture. There's mutation. There's basically experimentations in every game in multiple different vaults. Also, they seem like really shady salesmen in every game. It seems like they're just like, hey, come on, come get your Vault Tech ticket. Come get your Vault Tech ticket. And it just, I don't know, it just kind of scratches me the wrong way a little bit. But really, it's just the experiments with the grotesque results under the veil of being like, we will save you, that makes them truly terrifying to me. And again, with the Gladys pick, that's the one that I really want to try and seal the deal with. I really want to pick what I think is the best villains, and I really think that Vault-Tec is an underrated villain because they're never like the main villain in any of the stories in any of the Fallout games, but they're in every single one, and they truly are a nasty villain because, like, women, children, doesn't matter who you are, they're going to experiment on you. It's going to be nasty, and that's my choice for my back-to-backs.
I'm fine with it.
Yep, it's creative. I mean, I like it because it'll never win, but it's...
Oh, shut your bum. It'll get past the first round, I guarantee it.
Ooh. I don't know about that. We'll
it's
going to
try real hard.
It's, well, I mean, we already know it's going against Joker, so
okay,
that might be
an uphill battle. Okay, it's not getting out of the first round. All right, well, dang it.
All right, so Paul, back to you.
Yep, round three, pick two. I am going to follow up Saren and Joker by taking a villain that is a little bit newer on the list. We're drafting a lot of old classic villains. I'm going with someone who was a surprise hit both in 2020 and 2021 when the game finally came out. I'm going with Lady Dimitrescu from Resident Evil Village.
Memorable, huh?
Guys, I never knew that I wanted a 9.5-foot attractive vampire hunting
everybody
me down.
Else in the world, Paul.
Yeah, we had no idea, but we were all just waiting for it, and we didn't even know it. So, yeah, I got to go with her. I feel like she's the most memorable villain of the last 3 to 4 years. I really can't think of anyone else I'd put in that category.
Yeah, that's very true. If like, yeah. I don't know what it is. I mean, obviously, it was a big game release. It was a great game. But if you put a single image of Lady Dimitrescu, like, see, I forgot how to say it now. It's been a little while, but she says it in a different way.
French is so hard.
Dimitrescu.
Right? It's a silent U.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah. But yes, like, anybody would be like, oh yeah, I know who that is. So the only downside, because I'm in the mood to slander all of your picks tonight for both of you, is like,
She's a minor villain.
She's just such a short part of the game.
Yeah, but I think that's fine because it makes her
part of the game too, though.
Yeah, it's a great part of the game. She's not the main villain, and depending on the order you go through things, you might actually defeat her in the first quarter of the game if you go straight to her castle.
Yeah,
but yeah, she's got such a cool look. I love the idea of her having like the cigarette holder with the gloves and the giant brimmed hat. Just this like very classic 30s, 40s kind of look, but being this 9.5-foot tall vampire. So yeah, that's what I'll go for. And
good
Josh,
choice.
We're up to you. You get some back.
By the way,
picks.
Go
ahead.
Before we go to Josh, I just had to say, I realize there's a page two on my document here, and I missed a villain, and I should have let Vault-Tec slip down a little bit. There's no way this is making it back to me. Go ahead, Josh.
I don't know. Maybe because I do get the next one on my list that I really wanted, and then I think the fourth one on my list may actually fall to me as well. So.
Well, you get them back to back. This is your last two picks.
Yeah, this is it.
Oh, I am back to back.
So, that you think it will fall to you, it will.
Guys,
fall.
If my luck holds up, I'm going to get both picks that I want right here.
We're real smart on this show, guys.
This next one is an easy one for me. This game series was just recently free on the Epic Game Store. We tried to tell everybody go pick it up. That is the BioShock series. What started an amazing video game series was the first BioShock. And in that game, there is a villain by the name of Andrew Ryan that is constantly talking to you throughout the game. Apparently comms are easy and he knows you're there and you know that he is there. But Andrew Ryan makes such a compelling villain for a lot of reasons, not only because of the major twist that is at the end of BioShock, which I know that game's been out for a really long time, but I'm not going to spoil it just because, you know, it was free and maybe people are playing through it for the first time. But what I love about Andrew Ryan is that he's believable. And he's in your ear the whole time that you're playing BioShock. And, you know, he's very polite. He's always saying, hey, would you kindly, you know, go, you know, do this, or, you know, just, you know, hey, would you kindly leave me alone? Whatever. But he's almost fatherly in a certain way, because he's constantly communicating with you. And in Rapture, there's not a lot of people. There's only the crazy drugged up people that are trying to kill you. And so it feels very barren. So to have this communication the whole time, it's like you actually start to like him and be grateful for that conversation when he's chiming in. So, and then, of course, at the end, like I said, won't spoil it, but you both know.
Well, you've already outed him as a villain, so that's kind of
a major part. That's not a spoiler.
True story. So, actually, at the end of the game, he actually kills his brother, Jack Ryan. And that's a very tragic thing.
It's in the Jack Ryan universe, huh?
Jack Ryan universe of Andrew.
Josh, I thought for sure your number one pick would be Handsome Jack, and this would be your number two. So I knew you were going to take Andrew Ryan somewhere.
He's such a good villain, man. See, you know me too, Paul. And you know your good villains.
Yeah, he's a good villain. Now you get your last pick, Josh.
Now, this is where I'm struggling between, do I want to take a character that I think could possibly stand a chance to win? Do I go with my heart, or do I go with who actually is one of the better villains in a video game and might also be one of Paul's picks, and try to snatch that out of your possibility?
There's a 0% chance you will steal a character from me, but you're free to try.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You might steal this one from me, though. I'm feeling your brainwaves.
I'm going to go with... I really want to steal what I think. Oh, man. All right. You know what? Since there was big news about this recently with the announcement of Dragon Age 4, it was titled Dread Wolf. And people went, wait, who's the Dread Wolf? That sounds familiar. And then everybody kind of scrambled to realize who the Dread Wolf was. One of the best characters in a video game ever, Solas from Dragon Age. He is a party member. Was this going to be your pick, Paul?
I just love the idea that Josh remembered nothing about Solas as of 2 days ago. I guarantee it.
I know Josh remembered nothing about Solas. Do you know how much research I did on Solas today, man?
I feel like Josh would have put Michael's note for Saren, where Josh is like, Solas, let Paul vamp on Dragon Age.
I had to look up why he's the Dread Wolf. I had to, like, I did actually do a little bit of memory jogging on this one. He's amazing.
Ooh,
tell us about it.
Tell us. I love this villain. Great.
Okay.
Villain.
Yeah, he really is, because the thing with Solas is he joins your party. He's in your party for a very long time, the whole game. And you can interact with him in a million different ways. But ultimately, he winds up being this terrible villain because he's got his own agenda, and this gets super complicated and deep into the Dragon Age lore. But to simplify this, basically he comes from like an elven god pantheon, which they're not really gods. They're just really, really powerful mages, but they're almost akin to gods. And Solas is the one that created the veil, which separates like magic from the real world. You have to cross the veil to be able to interact with the other side of the veil? The Fade. There you go. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Solas is really obsessed with the Fade. He loves it.
He loves it, but what he's trying to do is he's trying to tear the veil down, because that is going to then bring the elves back into like dominance. So he's trying to like restore his race. So again, it's one of those characters that has this like really almost like a notable agenda. Like in his mind, he's doing the right thing. The only problem with all that is that if he does that, it's going to destroy the world in the process. And he's like, well, that's just a byproduct of it. I feel bad, but that needs to happen. And what I love about this is BioWare knows how great of a villain he is, because number one, they fleshed him out so well. But number two, in Dragon Age 4, it's titled Dread Wolf, which is basically saying, hey, guess who the bad guy's going to be and who you're going to have to go up against?
He's coming back.
Yeah, he's coming back. And he's coming back probably with a vengeance at that point. So,
one thing I would want to add into that is what you also discover at the end of the game is that Solas had been in a long-term slumber. And when he awoke, he discovered this orb that he wanted to unlock, but he didn't have enough power. And the entire game, Solas is in your party, and you are trying to hunt down and kill Corypheus, who has this orb of power. And what you find out is that Solas was so weak before the events of the game, he actually gave the orb to Corypheus, asking him to unlock it for him. So Solas set off all the events of the game. You don't know any of that until the very, very end, where there is a post-credit sequence where you learn all this stuff about Solas. When I first beat Inquisition, this is not an exaggeration, I immediately hit escape, new game, started a female elf, and played through again, because you can even romance Solas,
yep,
which unlocks new cutscenes and new dialogue.
Interesting.
And there are parts of the game where you talk about Fen'Harel, the Dreadwolf, and you talk about Mythal and all of these old gods and creatures. And if you have Solas in your party, he makes little passive-aggressive jabs, and the second playthrough is so much more satisfying because you know you're talking about Solas, and Morrigan is saying, well, you know, people say this, and Solas is like, well, that doesn't really make any sense, yeah. And he, like, corrects her, and, like, those little bits of dialogue are just so much more rich on the second playthrough. Yeah, I really love that pick. Solas is awesome.
I was notably silent during that whole thing because I was being educated on a game series that I have sadly never played.
You missed out, man.
So that's probably going to hurt.
Dragon Age
your vote.
Is phenomenal.
We will deep dive Dragon Age 4. Absolutely.
It's one of the top.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Dude, Dragon Age is one of the top video game series ever.
Well,
in
I remember
my opinion,
when,
like, ever.
I remember after we drafted the best RPGs, it was like, hey, guys, I want to start an RPG. Do I play Dragon Age or what's the other one?
Mass Effect?
No, Divinity Original Sin
2. Oh, Divinity, yeah.
And I ended up starting Divinity because
it's not a terrible
choice,
but
yeah, and you can do same screen co-op, but I remember that you guys both, like, picked those back to back, and they went very, very late in the best RPG of all time. And so I've always wanted to play it. But I was being educated there, and I'm very excited because I'm hoping I forget who Solas is, so I don't. So when I play it through,
it actually won't. Like, huh? You'll just pick stuff up. You know what I mean? At that point, like Paul said, it's almost like a second playthrough. If you know what to look for, there's so many little hints in the game that you realize at that point. So
I'm excited though. Still.
All right. So Paul,
yeah, great game.
Your last pick.
Last pick for me. I gotta say, I had a lot of Blizzard villains on my list, and I feel like I had to take one. And I'm gonna go with Sarah Kerrigan from
StarCraft. Great choice. She's actually
that's
on
the
my
one
list.
That I was saying. That's the one I was just saying.
Oh,
when I
really?
Didn't look at page two. It was Sarah Kerrigan.
You were gonna take her with your last pick, Michael.
That's 100% who I was gonna pick.
Queen of Blades.
Oh. I'm so mad.
Queen
right
of Blades
now and sad.
Yeah. So Kerrigan, if anyone's not super familiar with StarCraft, one of the coolest things about her character is that she's just a human that has psychic abilities. She's part of the Terran group because you've got Terran, Protoss, and Zerg. And she ends up being betrayed and left alone fighting the Zerg. And she runs out of ammo. The Zerg come up, and instead of killing her, they end up infesting her. They force her into a chrysalis. And she ends up coming out as what we recognize as the villain, Kerrigan, where she's got this, like, purple aesthetic. She's got dreadlocks, and I don't even know how to describe it. What would you describe, like, the
bone dragon wings?
Wings, where they're very pointy at the end.
Terrifying wings of awfulness. That's how I describe them.
Terrifying wings of awfulness. I like it. And what's really cool is over the course of StarCraft, you kind of, like, get pushed and pulled between her being good and bad. So she starts out good, then she's super villainous. Then they set off this energy wave that de-infests her, but she still has Zerg qualities within her, and she kind of hems and haws, is she going to be good or bad? And the end is even written intentionally vague, but my take of the series is that she chooses just to be a good human and settles down with the man that she loved. And so it has, like, this happy ending, even though she has full memory and knowledge of everything that she did, both good and bad. But she knows that she wasn't really fully in control when her DNA was changed. But what a cool character, where I think you really can empathize with the journey she goes on. I was debating her or Arthas for Blizzard.
Thanks for taking my next pick.
But I but I landed on Kerrigan. So, Michael, let's throw it to you.
There we go.
Are you really taking Arthas, or are you going something else?
I had considered shifting that direction, but let me look through my list real fast while I talk about Kerrigan.
The Lich King.
It is, well, and he's got a good story, too, as far as, you know, started as a good guy. But what I like about, I almost knew when I didn't pick Sarah Kerrigan that you were going to take her because she fits the exact definition of what you and I love about a villain. And she could, on any given day, be my favorite villain, really. It's just that she's not really enough of a villain in a story-based game for me to really pick her number one overall, but she has a tragic backstory.
Yeah,
it's sad. Tragic. It's horrible what happens to her, and then her happy ending, again, is terrible because she has to live with this, you know? Yeah. And it's just one of those things where it's great. I'll tell you what, since I'm the last pick overall, I'll go ahead and list off a couple of my honorable mentions real fast, and then I'll make my pick. Honorable mention I had here. What is my pick, by the way? Actually, it was going to be Arthas, straight up. So I'm picking Arthas here because when it comes to it...
Who's Arthas?
Arthas? He's the Lich King.
The Lich King.
Who?
Warcraft.
Yeah.
Who? He's in all the Warcrafts.
So what I like about the Arthas is, again, it's one of those stories where, you know, I don't know... I used to know his lore a lot more than I do now, but it's one of those things where he started good. He essentially... Paul, was he manipulated into evil, or he was after something?
I could be wrong, but I think when he gets the weapon Frostmourne or Frostmane,
yeah, it's Frostmourne.
I think it turns him where he starts to turn evil. So he's the first Death Knight, and he kills his dad. And then ends up becoming the Lich King. Yeah.
But he's doing it because he thinks it's going to make him save his kingdom or something like that, where Frostmourne's going to help him and he'll be king and all this stuff. And then, of course, you know, he dies a good guy kind of at the end. You know, that's what, a 16-year-old spoiler at this point. Sorry about that, guys. But I like him because, again, he's relatable. He's good. He's also terrible. Like, he is a hard boss to kill in that expansion. He is the head boss of probably the best expansion of World of Warcraft, in my opinion. I think the only one that holds a candle to him is Illidan. As far as overall bosses that you want to fight, that's a fun fight, by the way, the Illidan fight. But he's larger than life, and he actually somehow is larger than life because somehow in the game, because he's a raid boss, he's actually a very large human, very tall. He's somehow a 20-foot-tall human. and so I know it's not going to score many points and it's not going to get very far, but I really do like Arthas. As far as, though, my honorable mentions go, I do have Saren from Mass Effect because no one picked him somehow. Totally kidding. kind of on the Arthas line, I actually have Mike Tyson from Mike Tyson's Punch-Out on
That's
here.
That's funny. Yeah.
And it's ultimately because of the way that, like, the whole entire time you're playing Mike Tyson's Punch-Out, which, by the way, guys, we're talking about a game from,
I love that game. It's still one of my 86. Favorite games. Like, yeah, that was incredible. On the console. Yeah.
But the whole time you're playing, like, when you get to King Hippo and you get to some of those guys, like, you're thinking, that guy was hard. And you're thinking, how hard is Tyson gonna beat?
Oh, he's real hard. Yeah.
He's stupid hard. But that's the whole thing, is as a villain, like, the whole time before you even see him, you're thinking about how hard he's gonna be. Similar thing to Ganon from the Zelda franchise, also called Ganondorf.
Yep.
You rarely see him in the noise. Series. What's that?
Fart noise. I'm not a huge fan.
Oh, yeah. Well, but as far as, especially the older games, though, and I think Ocarina of Time as well, you don't see him much, but you're talking about him the whole game. You're hearing about him, all this stuff. And it's kind of like that larger than life in your mind myth. Psycho Mantis from Metal Gear Solid, which I never played, but Quite a Tool told me that that should be my number 1.01. So I wanted to put that in there. And then, of course, Bowser, because he's a classic. And that rounds out my overall honorable mentions. I probably should have picked Mike Tyson overall instead of Arthas. But
I like Arthas.
I like the Arthas pick.
One other really cool thing about Arthas is you get to play as him when he's still good in Warcraft 3.
Oh, that is
so
fun.
So back
yes.
in the RTS days, before World of Warcraft ever came out, you were following this several-year journey playing with Arthas and Uther and, you know, all of these characters. So yeah, that's really fun. On top of Michael's honorable mentions, I also wrote down Shredder. Pick your Ninja Turtles game. Yeah. Shredder is always fun. Donkey Kong, LeChuck from Monkey Island. The Origami Killer from Heavy Rain. I've got to put a Heavy Rain reference in every episode if I can. And I also wrote down The Sun from V Rising just as a minor callback.
Oh my goodness.
And the Cow King from Diablo 2. And the one that I thought I might take instead of Kerrigan is kind of pick and choose any of the three primevals from Diablo 2, Mephisto, Diablo, and Baal. all three of them are fantastic villains in Diablo 2. What about you, Josh? What honorable mentions do you have?
Sephiroth from Final Fantasy VII. If you know, I get that game's super old at this point, and even with the remake, yeah. I don't even remember if they do introduce Sephiroth, but I think you only see him like at a glimpse or something. You don't really get to him.
His full story.
But he was a phenomenal villain. I actually had Ornstein and Smough from Dark Souls because I still hate those two guys with the fire of a thousand suns. Sovereign from Mass Effect, I thought was a super cool villain. I love the interaction that he has with Shepard, or it has with Shepard, I guess. And then that is basically it. Paul and I were laughing about, like, and I'm sure there's people out there that are saying, well, what about Bowser? You know, yeah, and it's like,
right.
Nintendo villains suck.
They do. They're too cutesy and they're not really bad. Like, I get it. Like, yes, Bowser is probably one of the most iconic villains, but is he one of the best villains? And that answer for me is a resounding no. It's kind of like Ganon, right? Like Ganon/Ganondorf. Boy, what a well-known villain. The entire world knows about him, but yeah, he's kind of boring. They just say, like, oh, there's the evil Ganon. Go kill him. He wants the Triforce for himself to rule Hyrule. And it's like, okay, but why? And it's like, well, don't worry about that. Just go kill him. And you never really do find out more. So
it's kind of like how you said exactly. And Bowser also, honestly, is kind of easy. Like, there's one game, I think it's Mario 64, where Bowser's actually hard. The rest of them, it's like, hey, you just kill him over and over and over again, and he's kind of old hat. Maybe back in Mario 1. Same thing with, like, Dr. Wily or Dr. Willy from the Mega Man series. Like, great villain, but really, what's his motivation? Kill Mega Man. Why? Yeah. Kill Mega Man. Like, he's awesome, but not. And then I also forgot to mention Pyramid Head as well, even though it's not really maybe considered a villain. It's just
he's a villain. Pyramid Head?
From Silent Hill 2.
Oh, yeah, I never played Silent Hill, so I don't even know who that is.
Terrifying when you're playing the games. Terrifying. But he hasn't aged well.
No, he hasn't.
He just looks funny now. Why's this guy got a giant pyramid on his head? All right.
Why not?
Well, you know, I think it's just a formality at this point, running through the actual tournament.
But we'll
see how things play out. We'll see if we maybe have a dark horse winner here somewhere.
I like my number one pick.
I'm gonna have one left after the first round, by the way. There's a chance that one of them makes it out, but probably not. I'm gonna have one left after the first round.
I was gonna say I drafted just villains I love. I don't really expect any to make it beyond round two at the very furthest, but we'll see. All right, round one, match one. We've got GLaDOS versus Sarah Kerrigan.
It's ironic that I said on any given day Sarah Kerrigan could be my number one, but today is not that day.
Today is not GLaDOS that wins. Day. Yeah, it's got to be GLaDOS. Sarah Kerrigan is a great villain. I love the story arc in StarCraft and what she goes through. Like, you legitimately care about her, and then you hate her, and then you care about her again.
Right.
But GLaDOS is going to win that one hands down.
GLaDOS is just so much more fleshed out as far as just there's a lot more to it when you're playing the game. You know, Sarah Kerrigan has a story and a lot of lines and stuff, but GLaDOS is just, she's amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah, the only thing I'll say about Kerrigan, since she's now getting the axe, is that maybe most importantly, she was also portrayed by Dwight Schrute in season 8 of The Office when he dresses up as Kerrigan for Halloween.
I forgot all about that.
he's got the wings and everything.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, that's why that show's
I have
so
not
great.
Watched much of The Office, but I'm gonna look up that episode.
I might be
tonight.
Due for a second watch through of The Office, man. I've only seen it once, like the whole series, but
yeah, you can text me. I'll give you my Peacock info.
I tend to shy away from. I think you do. No, you got Paramount Plus. I think. I tend to shy away from comedy shows because I just don't like humor at all.
Michael doesn't want.
Oh, you're
no.
Missing
I just
out,
haven't made the time
life.
To watch. I just haven't made the time to watch it all the way through.
All right, so round one, match two. These are my two favorite all-time series. We got Mass Effect versus Dragon Age. Saren Artarius versus Solus.
Oh, Paul, this has got to be tough for you.
That's gross.
Now, I know
they're both great.
You did pick Saren as your best villain of all time, so I'm going to argue Solus because Michael gets to pick this one.
You have to at least say his name right if you draft him. Solus.
No, wait, man. Saul. Like,
it's Solus.
Saul, S-O-L.
Wait,
like,
what?
Our son is Saul. Saul Good, man.
I got the advantage that Michael's never played Dragon Age, so I think I might end up winning on a technicality.
Well, you mean Dragon Age Quantum of Solace? Sorry, I had to.
It's Quantum of Solace, Michael.
Soulless.
All right, let me ask you this.
Solace.
Let me ask you this. Saren died in the first Mass Effect, and then he's no longer in the series, whereas Solace is actually such a good villain that they are making him the main villain in the new game that everybody is losing their minds about for a very good reason.
And I'm sure that in the new game, he's probably going to be a really, really good villain. But right now, I don't know. But I can tell you that Saren made my list today and Solace didn't. Solace? Dang it. So I'm going to have to
move
forward.
Now nobody knows how to victory.
Yeah, I just got confused by myself just from you guys bantering. But I have to move forward with Saren because I did like Saren quite a bit, even though I've only played half that game.
Yeah, I don't think Saren's going to last much longer, but I'm glad he made it out of round one. That's a moral victory. That's
certainly
really
not
all
making
I was
it past
for.
The end of Mass Effect 1.
No,
we don't even.
He doesn't. He doesn't overstay his welcome, Josh. He sets a good impression and then he exits stage left.
We don't even have to mention the next matchup because I'm going to vote against myself here.
Yeah, we got Micah Bell versus Arthas.
Oof. I love Arthas, but Micah was absolutely my number two that I was going to pick after a bunch of people were taken. So let's move forward with Micah. Straight up, I'll concede that one. I like Micah a lot.
I'm not a violent man, but if I met Micah, the character in real life, like I might want to physically fight him.
Yeah, exactly. See?
Yeah. Very good villain. All right. Round one, match four. We've got Handsome Jack versus Lady Dimitrescu.
Ooh, this is probably the first close one, in my opinion. Handsome Jack is just such a better all-around villain. Lady Dimitrescu is memorable, and she is current. I give her those two things. But Handsome Jack is just the better villain in every aspect, other than looks, maybe. But then again, he's pretty handsome. He is pretty handsome. It's in his name.
Very handsome.
Yeah,
Is he?
Yeah, yeah. He's a dapper fellow.
He's relatively handsome. Yeah, he's got a nice jaw. I think if it was favorite villain, I much prefer Lady Dimitrescu, but we're saying best villain. Handsome Jack is, I think, unquestionably a better villain. So yes. I think we would have to put through Handsome Jack.
I love the layers on Handsome Jack. He is charming. He's hilarious. He's also evil. You don't want to hate him, but you do. My vote's Handsome Jack.
All right.
He's a little too evil for me, where he's like sadistic evil, not like charismatic evil. That's my only like criticism of Handsome Jack. But otherwise, what a villain.
I don't know, kind of like the next guy here.
Yeah, Michael, you might not make much out of this round. Nope. We've got Joker versus Vault-Tec. It's really hard to win best villain when you are faceless.
Yes, or personless.
When you're a corporation.
But maybe that's why it's so bad, because they are the faceless
They're
ones.
They're everywhere.
And seriously, though, I mean, I'll bow out of this one because Joker is better. But like, that's a good. I mean, I almost said misunderestimate. People misunderestimate. People kind of underestimate, like, or underrate, like how awful Vault-Tec actually is. But you're right, since they're kind of faceless, move on. But my next guy is coming out of this round. We're going. Here we go.
Round one, final matchup: Voss Montenegro versus Andrew Ryan.
If you guys had played that game, there's no
contest.
I
was going to say this one's an easy one for me, but it might be because I never played Far Cry 3. Now, I mean, Far Cry tries for really good villains. They apparently hit the nail on the head with 3 and 4 because Voss Montenegro and Pagan Min are phenomenal heroes. One of them I'm familiar with, the other one I'm not, and that's just sad for Michael because while I guess he's great, I know Andrew Ryan is an amazing villain in an amazing video game.
You're also just arguing your pick, Paul. Or I'll tell you what. You know what? Let's just put the show on pause. Let's go ahead and just message the Discord real fast. Which, by the way, guys, subtle plug here. If you haven't joined our Discord community, go do that, please. You can go join it at multiplayerpodcast.com. And anyways, we're going to pause the show now. We'll come back next week. You guys can vote. And because I know that the fans of the show will be on my side with Voss Montenegro.
I think that would backfire because more people have probably played BioShock than Far Cry 3.
This is dumb. I'm leaving the show. All right. So, you know what? Let's just leave the show going. Okay. We won't pause the show, guys. We'll keep going.
I do like Andrew Ryan, but
you're gonna pick a villain you've never even played against?
Whoa, I really love Far Cry. I trust Far Cry enough that I feel like it's probably the right pick.
And he is the best.
It's not an educated.
Villain. Josh is wrong.
Yeah, this is not an educated pick. I'm just going off of my pure love for Far Cry.
Shenanigans.
I feel like it probably is the better pick.
Shenanigans.
That was the it's my 40th birthday.
That was 100% right Paul being kind to Michael. Andrew Ryan's such
be
a better villain. I actually
neither
nonsense.
Voss neither's might going actually on be the better villain. Andrew Ryan's the more memorable villain.
No way.
Yeah.
No way. Voss Montenegro is one of the most memorable villains of all time.
I mean, I don't know, man.
I don't know how many people would know both by name. I feel like a lot of people would say, oh, yeah, the bad guy from Bioshock. I don't know how many people would know Andrew Ryan. And similarly, I don't know how many people would specifically remember the name Voss Montenegro.
I bet you on that vein, I bet you that more people could place, if we said, what video game is Andrew Ryan in? More people could place him to Bioshock than if you said, what video game is Voss Montenegro in? People would be like, ooh, maybe. I've heard that name, but I don't remember. Whereas more people would remember Andrew Ryan.
But I like Far Cry as a series, so we're going Far Cry.
Boom, I'll take it. See, that's what I do. Suddenly,
protest this.
It doesn't matter. Neither are going beyond where they're at.
That's
so
true. And that methodology of drafting things that Paul likes to work with Arthas. So.
So we are now into round two. This will wrap up relatively quickly now that we have a top six. We are left with GLaDOS, Saren, Micah Bell, Joker, Handsome Jack, and Voss Montenegro. So do we all have two?
Not like the other.
We do all have two.
Yeah, we all have two picks. Wow, that's kind of nice. All right.
Has that ever happened before?
Probably. I don't know.
I don't think it has.
I can go back and look.
Right.
So no, round two, match one. Boy, I feel like this could be a finals matchup if it were up to me. GLaDOS versus Joker.
This is a good finals matchup. But
that's
a clear winner.
Good matchup.
The Joker on a whole, you know, through comic books, movies, and gaming, is one of the most iconic villains ever. But in video games, GLaDOS is the answer. Paul already wrote it down.
You know why else? You know what Joker never does?
Make funny
sing a
jokes.
Song in the end credits.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh yeah. Oh,
GLaDOS sure does. She's got some
none
bangers.
None of us pick Wheatley because Wheatley is great. He's a great villain.
Wheatley's great. I feel like, but why draft Wheatley when you already have
true.
GLaDOS? There's no point.
That's the tough part. Yeah,
it'd be like drafting the elusive man from Mass Effect. Like, I feel like you can't really double dip.
Yeah.
Well, that's why I felt comfortable throwing Dutch Vanderlyn out there after you picked Micah Bell. Because, like, no one's going to pick Dutch after Micah went, you know?
And Micah is the much more hated one anyway.
You'd have to be an idiot to pick, like, after someone picks Arthur Morgan as someone to have a beer with, you'd have to be an idiot to pick John Marston, right?
Right, guys? Exactly. No one would ever do that on our draft, right?
Nobody would do that. Anyway.
this nameless person was a guest host at the time, so.
The important thing is that Michael learns, and he has learned from his mistakes.
Michael is learning. I'll be honest.
I've learned so much, guys.
Michael's going to win every draft here on out.
He better not.
He never loses.
Right.
All right, round two, match two. Saren, my boy, versus Handsome Jack.
Ooh, that's tough.
Handsome Jack's going to win,
yeah,
but I don't like it.
He is going to win.
I don't like it.
Now, see, this is the conundrum between Saren is the better villain. Like,
he's more compelling.
Realistically speaking. But Handsome Jack is the more memorable, likable, mainstream, popular type villain. Like, he's like the prom king, you know.
He's kind of one dimensional. Like, that's why I like Saren so much, is he's complex and like the moral ambiguity of what he's doing and all that. Handsome Jack's just kind of like evil psycho, which is fun.
Evil, funny, handsome,
kind of like the Joker.
Energetic psycho. He is like the Joker. Yeah. That's a very
they're
good
kind of
comparison.
Similar.
Yep.
Yeah.
But you know what's funny?
You know what?
Let's just say it. This is like a reality TV show right now, right? Paul, you did me a solid. I'm going with Saren.
Wait, when did what?
I voted.
Where is the integrity of this show?
Neither one of them are making it anyway.
It doesn't matter.
Also,
I voted Handsome Jack anyway. All right, we all
good.
Know you
Paul,
are.
At least you have professional integrity.
I told you guys before we recorded, I said I have a 0% chance of winning this draft because I'm just going with my true favorites, and I can just stand in that moral victory.
Truly, though, I am so tossed on this that I literally just picked one because I love them both so much, and I really They're don't know which really one good. I'd pick if we actually had to. Yeah.
All right, final matchup in round two, Micah Bell versus Voss Montenegro.
All right, Voss Montenegro. We'll talk to you later because Micah Bell was my pick for the perfect psycho before Josh took him. So I'm going Micah Bell.
I was going to say, this one, I don't feel like there's any competition here.
We'll save some time on the show here, guys.
Yeah, it's hard to go wrong with Micah. Super memorable, super good. Not good, but you know what I mean.
Right. It's hard to go right with Micah. He's awful.
Yeah. All right, so we are left with our final three. We have GLaDOS, Handsome Jack, and Micah Bell.
I have two.
We can vary.
Two beats
Josh
one.
Josh has two in the finals.
Two beats one, right, guys?
That's not how it works.
What?
So let's.
I can't combine them.
Josh, this show has integrity.
Can I combine? Can I like DNA mush like Micah and Handsome Jack together into one supervillain?
This is not Captain Planet.
Basically, just be Captain Jack, but you'd want to punch him a little bit more.
All right, so we can quickly vote here and come up with our winner. Who would we give it to between Handsome Jack and Micah Bell?
Micah.
I think Micah also.
Yeah,
I think I go Micah because there's one thing about Micah that he has is that
stupid mustache.
That's
a great mustache, dude. It's legendary.
That makes him want you like, to punch him even more because of his stupid mustache.
So like,
he's
you can look at him
villain.
And it looks like his skin is permanently like greasy and wet. Like, but the thing about Micah Bell though is I have never gotten that mad at a character in a video game before. I'm like, I hate this guy. Like, he needs to die, but he's one of our guys. And I'm like, I felt so conflicted, like playing as Arthur and thinking, I just want to kill this guy. I hope I get to kill this guy. I really hope I get to kill this guy.
And Arthur doesn't. But when you get to come back as John and you do the Deadeye and you just pump 50 bullets into Micah, it's
so satisfying.
It's great. I also hate the fact that Micah calls you Black Lung like the entire second half of the game.
Right.
He's just so mean. He's mean and evil in every sense.
That part with Marzen at the end is like eating a cheddar biscuit with extra butter.
You know who's not hateable, though, is GLaDOS. She's so likable. I've never wanted to punch GLaDOS.
I mean, in the first maybe 30 minutes of the game, sure.
No, because, you know, I she's just so likable. She makes these great wisecracks. She's funny. She sings. She's got a pleasing voice.
All right. GLaDOS versus Micah Bell. It's GLaDOS. Michael?
GLaDOS.
Yeah.
Can we give... it is GLaDOS, but can we at least say, like, Micah, you're close, buddy. Everybody hates you.
Sure.
We just want you to know
that. You're in the same stadium. Sure.
I'll send a letter to the voice actor sending our sentiments to him. You were close to GLaDOS, but really a robot, you know, a one-armed robot thing got you.
And so that means our final matchup here in the finals is GLaDOS versus Handsome Jack, which means either we're going to give GLaDOS the victory or it's going to be a three-way tie.
Oh, it's going GLaDOS to GLaDOS.
It's GLaDOS, for sure.
I feel like whenever we get to the very end, it's like rock, paper, scissors. It's like paper beats rock, scissors beats paper.
Yeah,
except like GLaDOS is like the cheating grenade thing where you're like, grenade, and you stick your thumb up. People are like, what?
So GLaDOS comes away with the victory, which I love. I think she is funny, but she's also evil.
Awesome.
She spends half of Portal 2 inside a potato. She sings. You kill her, and she literally starts the song singing, "This was a triumph. I'm making a note here. Huge success." Everything about GLaDOS is just pitch perfect. The voice acting is also fantastic. There's nothing that you can criticize about GLaDOS. It's a perfect villain.
She really is, man. The wisecracks, we could literally have an entire episode on just funny GLaDOS sayings, wisecracks, trolls, you know, that kind of stuff, man. It's amazing.
Just dissecting them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, it's funny, too, because Portal and Portal 2 are both incredible games, right? And you wonder where they'd be with, like, not such a compelling, awesome villain. But the fact that GLaDOS is there makes them that much better.
Portal would be like, a fun puzzle game, but would not be the absolutely iconic game that it is without GLaDOS in it.
100%. Yeah. Yep. Absolutely. And that's great, because the best villain of all time, like, makes a game. It should be that way.
Yep.
kind of funny that our best villain of all time is from a puzzle game. I don't know that
Isn't
you
it?
Would naturally think
yeah,
that.
Yeah, that's right.
You
yeah.
would think it would be from an RPG, but she's just so well made. Yep. Yeah. All right. Well, any closing thoughts on best villains before we shut this one down?
I don't have a closing thought on best villains, but I got a closing thought on the guy you called Owen. Two.
Oh, Michael is. He is
2-0. 2-0 in the last two. We'll use how they do in like sports when they're like, hey, they're 5-0 in the last five games. Yeah, but they were 0-7 before that. You know, you see that all the time in sports. But anyways, last
yeah,
two, won by yours truly, baby.
Luck of the draw. Going. Some drafts, it's really good to have that first pick. And then other ones, that first pick's just like, eh, this could be any like of the first four or five picks.
Gosh, says a loser.
Dang it. I came in second.
So if we had banned GLaDOS, since we all kind of agreed it was the heavyweight, then you think we would have given it to Micah?
I would, for sure.
I think Micah probably would have won it at that
point.
This
is the one thing I love about Micah, is that most people would not pick Micah out of like, you know, if you just said, hey, who's one of the best villains in a video game? I don't think a lot of people would think about Micah. But the second you go, hey, what about Micah? Everybody goes, oh, I hate that guy.
Yep.
Yeah, exactly.
And I'm proud of all of us for having him on the list. I think, Josh, you had him too, right?
Yeah, I picked him.
Oh, sorry, Paul.
He was on my short list. Yeah. But okay. I wasn't going to take him over Saren.
I was diving for him at number two, but I knew my number two was so far away. I thought there was a chance he might come to me, and then
if you wound up with GLaDOS and Micah, that would have been impressive, Michael.
Yeah, yeah. I know, right? It's just a matter of you would have not had to thought of him, but you yeah, did. I so did. You know,
well, Michael is officially on a winning streak.
That's true. Two in a row is a streak, huh?
Yeah. So, and also, don't forget that in a fictitious world, Josh would have won, where GLaDOS doesn't exist.
That's true too. Yes.
Honorable mention.
Well, thank you so much to everyone for listening to this episode. If you would like bonus content, if you like what we do here, you would absolutely love the Squadcast. It is a bonus 30-minute episode that we release the second and fourth Tuesday of every month. You can get that feed if you become a Patreon supporter at multiplayersquad.com.
Isn't it the first and third episode or week?
First and third week for
Squadcast? I think it's the first and third.
I don't know.
Yeah,
I'm pretty sure it is.
I think it was the
second and fourth, yeah, the first yeah. month we did it, but then we were like, hey, Josh, we're moving to the first and third. So
yeah, correction. The Squadcast is the first and third. Regardless, whenever, well,
they're great.
Josh
whenever
didn't
you
release
get
it on time this time, so you never know when it's going to come out. Two days a month, you will get the Squadcast.
2 days a month. Oh, and I
no guarantees.
That was me frantically messaging Paul. When is the Squadcast supposed to release? And he's like, I think it was supposed to be yesterday, dude. And I was like,
sometime, guys. We promise there will be back-to-back days, probably.
Yeah.
We promise there will be two a month. We cannot make any guarantees as to when they will come out. But
it's like Christmas for you guys. If you like those episodes, they're going to come at surprising times.
It's more fun if you don't know when.
Them. Exactly. But it'll probably be the first and third Tuesday.
It should be. All right. Well, thank you, everybody. We'll see you all next time.
All right. Thank you, everyone. Domo arigato nir automata. Cheers.
Domo. All. See you, everybody.